When Jesus Christ is living within us, we possess all that we need in this world and throughout the ages to come. We must allow Him to live fully within us. He dines with us and we with Him. He loves us and we love Him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. John 14, verse 10. Here is the true and eternal house of the Father. As Jesus Christ lived upon the earth, it was the Father living upon the earth in Him. God became a man and lived among people for a season. Jesus Christ is not the Father. He is the eternal dwelling place, the house, the abode of the Father. It was the Father who spoke through Jesus Christ the words which all mankind admires. It was the indwelling Father who performed the works that still are the most marvelous of all history. Now Jesus Christ has been broken and multiplied so that the dwelling place of the Father might be multiplied and enlarged. Each saint who will allow Jesus Christ to enter into him and live in him becomes an enlargement of God's eternal house. The peoples of the world are groaning in bondage, languishing in their chains, waiting for the members of the body of Christ to allow Jesus to enter into them and make his eternal abode with them. But we do not always understand Christ's love. Sometimes we attempt to use Jesus Christ for our own purposes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. John 14, verse 12. John 14, 12 is a prophecy of the power of the millennial kingdom of God and also of the days immediately preceding the worldwide appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Feast of Tabernacles, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, has been fulfilled in the members of the body of Christ to a greater extent than is true today, and the Father and the Son have taken up their abode within us, then the greater works will be performed. In that day, the power of the Father and of Christ will be within us. The character of the Son will have been formed within us. We will be following the leading of the Holy Spirit, not walking in the blindness of our flesh and soul. We will be bearing upon ourselves and our actions the name of Jesus Christ. One of the most remarkable results of this indwelling and obedience will be the releasing of the nations of the earth from every satanic bondage. That day is at hand. It is the day of Christ, the day of the Lord. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14, verse 13. As the Father and the Son enter into us and abide within us, then we always pray according to the will of God, and our prayers are answered, just as is true of the Lord Jesus. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, verse 16. The Holy Spirit is God among us. His mission is to bring us to Christ, and to bring Christ to us. The Holy Spirit has been charged, as Eliezer of old, to seek a bride for the Son and heir of the Father. It is not possible for Jesus Christ to come to us immediately in his fullness. The Holy Spirit has been given charge over us. He supervises the purification process. Many washings and anointings must be accomplished before we are ready for the fullness of the indwelling of Christ. We see these washings and anointings typified in Esther chapter 2, verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. The preparation is spoken of also in Ephesians 3, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It requires a period of time in order for us, who were born with a sinful, rebellious, stubborn, proud nature, to be made ready for the perfect, complete indwelling of the Father and the Son within us. Isn't that so? We are to obey the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our life, because his mission is to present us to Jesus Christ. We cannot be made ready, we cannot be prepared, we cannot be presented to Jesus Christ unless we cooperate in faith and obedience with the Holy Spirit as he works the necessary righteousness and holiness within us. From the moment that we believe in Jesus Christ, we are placed in the charge of the Holy Spirit of God. It is he who assigns and directs the gifts and ministries. It is he who brings forth the moral image of Christ within us. The Spirit accomplishes all of this by using the virtues of Jesus Christ, which have been given to him to make ready the bride of the Lamb. Now we come to the personal appearing of the Lord, to which he was referring when he stated in verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. John 14, verse 19. The world cannot see Jesus Christ and is ignorant of the true person of Christ. But the saint who has been purified by the Holy Spirit will be visited by the Lord in the spiritual fulfillment of the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. We will see him. We will see him. We now are learning to live by his life. In that day we will be indestructible because he is indestructible. We live as he lives, as we eat his flesh and drink his precious blood. His life is our life. Galatians 2, verse 20. During the darkest hours of earth's history, which even now are at hand, God will enter into his people in mighty hope and strength. The divine power which is arising within the saints in fulfillment of the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles will sustain them in the very face of Antichrist and finally will crush Satan and all of his works. Romans 16, verse 20. The overwhelming victory of the body of Christ, as the Father and the Son enter into the obedient saints and make their abode with them, is described in many passages of the Old Testament. Typical of these passages is the following selection from Joel, which tells of God rising up in power in his people at the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, the body of Christ, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Joel 3, verse 16. Compare John 14, verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. By faith in the written word, we know that Christ is in his Father, and we are abiding in him, and he is abiding in us. But now our faith turns into experience and revelation as we begin to live by the life and love of Jesus Christ. Now we know that Christ is in God, and that we are in him, and he in us. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 21. In order to receive the Father and Christ after the manner described in the above passage, we first must keep the words of Christ. His words are contained primarily in the four gospel accounts. Christ commanded us many things: to seek first the kingdom of God, to give to the poor, to love our enemies, to be meek in spirit, to to love God with all of our heart and soul and our neighbor as ourself. The entire New Testament is filled with the commandments of Christ in His own words, in the Gospels, and then in the words of the Apostles. The Holy Spirit helps us as we make the attempt to do what Jesus commanded us. That is our part. We show our love for Jesus by doing what He said. If we do not practice what Christ taught, then we do not love Him. If we love Jesus, we will keep His sayings. Then the Father will love us. Now we are ready for Jesus Christ to make Himself known to us. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? John 14, verse 22. It is evident from the answer which Christ gave to Judas that there will be a personal appearing of the Father in Christ to each saint who keeps the words of Christ. This is not a manifestation to the world, but to the believer who shows his love for Jesus by keeping His commandments. Jesus' answer to Judas is the fulfillment in the New Covenant of the Old Covenant Feast of Tabernacles. The three great gatherings of Israel were Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. First, we are delivered from wrath and commence our Christian discipleship, Passover. Then we learn to serve Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and to walk in righteousness and holiness in the Spirit, Pentecost. Finally, we are ready for the Father and the Son to come into us in a far greater way than we have known, and to make us an abode in the Father's house. This is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was celebrated under the Old Covenant. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. John 14:23 describes the New Covenant fulfillment of the Levitical Feast of Tabernacles of Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. Notice, if a man love me, will love him, come unto him, make our abode with him. Tabernacles always is an individual experience because it is an exchange and expression of love between Jesus Christ and the believer. Jesus does not come unto them, but unto Him. When each of the believers has been prepared as the dwelling place of the Father, then it will be time for them, as we read in John 17, verses 21 through 23. As in the case of the building of Solomon's temple, the living stones will be fashioned completely and precisely at the quarry. When it is time for the stones to come together to form the Father's house, it will not be necessary to do any trimming or adjusting. The body of Christ will flow together by the power of the Spirit at one sovereign word from the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride of the Lamb will be completely mature, in perfect unity, without wrinkle, spot, or any blemish of any kind whatever. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. John 15, verse 1. The Father does not want any more vines. He does not want any more Christ. There is one Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true vine and the only vine which God will bless. He is the eternal house of God, the perfect and complete expression of God's person, love, and will. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15, verse 4. The Greek verb translated abide in John 15, 4 has the same root as the Greek noun translated mansions in John 14, 2 and abode in John 14, 23. We do not originate in the vine. We are grafted onto it. Each one of us has his or her own personality, which has come from many sources and resulted from various experiences. Each one of us is unique. Our uniqueness is very desirable to the Lord Jesus. Jesus desires that each one of us be himself. In too many instances, our Christian religion tends to be a method of flirting with Christ in order to accomplish our own will. We adorn ourselves with various embellishments and beauty aids. But Christ will have none of that. He wants us to be simple, plain, natural, without any religious adornments of any kind whatever. Christ loves us for what we are, for what he sees in us, not for what we imagine that he sees in us. The daughters of Jerusalem decked themselves out with all sorts of religious finery. But the true bride of Christ is the eternal union of heaven with earth. She is not a product of religion. Christ loves her God-given personality, not a strained and unnatural creation brought into being by the religious efforts of flesh and blood. The bride is raised and trained in a religious house. She feeds the flock dutifully. Then the Lord Jesus comes by and clothes her with his own robe. Her earthly personality is made new in Christ until she is wholly his. The bride is a virgin, that is to say, she is not married to any religion. Jesus Christ becomes exceedingly jealous of any person, spirit, or thing that catches the interest of his bride. He will move very quickly until her eyes once again are occupied solely with himself. If his efforts to gain her attention are not totally successful, if she continues to be distracted with other persons and things of interest, she will not be accepted. Each one of us has to look carefully to his own heart if he seeks to be a part of the wife of the Lamb. Christ is the true vine. We are the branches grafted onto that vine. The Father waits until we are ready for grafting. The time varies from individual to individual. There is a unique element in each human personality which is loved by the Lord. He will wait until that element has been developed into the desired fullness, until we are ripe. Then the pain begins. The Lord opens up in us a great jagged wound. We cannot understand it. What has happened? Why would Christ, whom we serve, hurt us like this? But there is a great jagged wound in his side. The wound in us just matches that wound in Christ with an exactness known only to the Father. Then we are pressed into Christ's side, wound against wound. We are tender, we are sore, we ache. But there is no other manner in which Jesus can become the way in us, the truth in us, the life in us. Now we are becoming ready to bear fruit. After a while, the life from the vine begins to flow into the branch of our personality. Now the mystery of redemption becomes understandable to us. We know what God is doing. For the mystery of the gospel is Christ in us. Everything else is a prop, a scaffolding, a means to an end. Love is quick to perceive the dependence of Christ upon us. The vine cannot bear fruit apart from the branches. Adam cannot replenish the earth apart from Eve. Christ cannot bear fruit apart from us. The branches are the source of his inheritance from the Father. The Father is love and performs all things in creative love. When first we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he is with us as our friend and companion. He is the good shepherd who makes us to lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the still waters. Also, he is born in our hearts at that time. But in order for us to become an abode in the great house of God, the divine seed which has been planted within us must be nourished and cared for until Christ begins to mature within us. As Christ comes to fullness of stature within us, the Father and the Son come through the Holy Spirit and make our transformed inner man their eternal dwelling place. The Father will dwell only in Christ. Our Christian discipleship is one long travail as Christ is being formed within us. When the Father and the Son take up their residence within us, that is the beginning of the day of the Lord, as far as we personally are concerned. That is why the Lord Jesus uses the expression from Isaiah, "In that day." That day is the day of the Lord. The morning star, Jesus Christ, arises within our hearts The day of the Lord commences within the personalities of God's conquering saints. When Jesus comes, the saints will bring the day of the Lord to the whole world. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. John 16, verse 21. We see the Lord Jesus, so to speak, when we are a young Christian. Jesus is very real to us as our new and very dear friend. But as time goes on, we become less aware of his companionship. We see him no longer. Our discipleship becomes a painful travail. If we continue to serve him, enduring with patience our trials, giving thanks each day to the Father for the tender mercies and blessings of that day, we begin to see Jesus again. But now the revelation is coming from within us. We are aware of his guiding presence with us and also in us. This is the kingdom of God. We see him more clearly each day toward the end of our discipleship. Christ has been formed in us. The Father and the Son are taking up their abode within us. We enter into the eternal love, joy, peace, and righteousness of the day of the Lord. The plan of redemption has attained its goal in our personalities, spirit, soul, and, at the coming of the Lord, our body. That which was complex has now become so very simple. The doubts and pains which have accompanied the formation of our character now are forgotten, although their effect remains for eternity. The everlasting romance begins. All explanations are given, and we know as we are known. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17, verse 21. God and Christ come to dwell in the members of the body of Christ. The fullness of divine power is there in the Father. The fullness of divine character and image is there in the Son. The earth and its peoples and all else of the creation of God belong now to the saints. They will move out in the Spirit of God to their assigned inheritances. The power for total judgment, total deliverance, total righteousness, total peace will be within them. Through the conquering saints, the love of the Father in Jesus will flow out to heal the people to whom the saints are sent. The world will believe because the world will behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in each saint. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. John 17, verse 22. The glory of Jesus Christ, that divine glory which has no limitations, which knows no boundaries, which is waters to swim in, is given to each believer who keeps the words of Christ. Each member of the body of Christ is filled with the Father and the Son. The whole is one living being, the manifestation of God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. The divine love makes us all one, just as Christ is one in God and with God, and God is one in Christ and with Christ. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 23. Does God the Father love us as he loves his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a comparable word in the Scriptures? In God's holy temple, Mount Zion, his eternal dwelling place, his great living house, there are many places of restful occupancy. Would you desire to become a part of the house of God? The New Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, is the completed house of God, the revelation to God's entire creation of his person, his love, his will. The holy city is one whole. It is God in Christ in the saints. The mortar of the structure is divine love. The Apostle John heard no sound coming from the New Jerusalem, At least he didn't state that he did. Why not? Perhaps it is because the song without end can be heard only by the individual in this present hour. It may be different in the future. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.